yeah, bruh!
Welcome to the TKD update presented to you by Mo and McGee.
Chicken or chicken?
Hey, everybody. Mo and McGee, not on Fantasy Kevin. Where are we at?
On TKD.
On TKD. Boys, great draft weekend. The initiation of Huber. I don't know if he's recovered from that yet or not. Obviously not, because his fantasy team sucked ass. But a lot of interesting developments. We saw some teams that I think are going to be some consistent performers, maybe some fallacies out there. Let's go through the standings, Kevin. And pains me to say this, because he's usually, you know, 7th, 8th place, not doing much. But I think Kramer might be here to stay.
Yeah, he had a very solid showing. Jamar Chase, Jonathan Taylor. You can usually lock Alex Kramer into like borderline making the playoffs, but this is his year. This is the year where he could make a run. It's going to be a little bit of a bet on Jalen Hurts doing what he did in week one. It's going to be a little bit of a bet on those running backs panning out for him in the RB2 slot. But if those hit, scary, scary team.
Yeah, Christian Kirk looks like a fantastic draft pick as well. 12 targets week one. No. Yeah, 12 targets week one. That's real. That's a real stat that I just read. Christian Kirk, 12 targets. And, you know, 17 fantasy points without a touchdown. Nothing to sneeze at. So he might have 3 locked in pretty good receivers. And then Jonathan Taylor, Jalen Hurts. Kramer might be up in the standings for a while.
Yeah, and on the other side of things, Huber, welcome to the league. Welcome to your 0-1 start. 112 points isn't a bad showing, especially when points are down.
Would it be quite a few other teams?
Yeah, not to name any in particular, but some promising pieces. DeAndre Swift looks solid. Judy with a long touchdown. Waddle with a touchdown. Needs those guys to keep those touchdowns rolling in, I think, to have a chance to get some wins. Man, he got ripped on his draft, and I think deservingly so. Will he drop Braxton Berrios?
No, that's Miami. Put your use up. But yeah, I mean, he just made some bonehead mistakes at the end of the draft. However, DeAndre Swift looks like a slam dunk. Nice pick there. You know, KJ Osborne, we mentioned in the last episode, was out on the field quite a bit. So there's some nice pieces here. Could see Huber definitely doing better than Hari ever has.
Nice high bar.
let's go to the second highest scorer. Carter, once again, usually and also ran in this league last year, made a run into the playoffs. Carter wants to go back to back in the playoffs. CH goes off. Stephon Diggs has a nice week. Tyreek Hill, Darren Waller, lot to like.
Yeah, yeah. The thing with Clyde Edwards-Helaire was those couple receiving touchdowns. So those are going to be tough to bank on. But Miles Sanders has surprised me. Tyreek Hill got a shit ton of targets, you know, kind of up and down. Carter usually starts pretty hot. Can he fill in with the depth is going to be the question. Until bye weeks hit, I think he's a very formidable target and not somebody that I'm particularly excited to face.
Yeah, Joe Burrow's going to be a lot better too. 4 picks really dampened his day too. So he could have been the week one big time scorer if Burrow could have not thrown to the other team. But yeah, on the other side of Carter, not so good for
Dusty
Woods. Sorry, didn't have that pulled up. That was Woods. Woods got, or no, it was
Dusty.
No. What is this?
110, Smoking Jay.
Oh, you're right.
What are you looking at?
No,
Dustin. Logan's looking at.
I got a hard
week 13 from 2021.
8 stitches in my head. I can't. You expect me to do everything perfect?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, Dusty's running backs where it fell short. Damian Pierce was not the Damian Pierce that we were promised in the preseason. He has to be a little bit nervous about that. Good news for him, Michael Thomas and Kareem Hunt, who, although we're on his bench in week one, look like they could be very playable assets. Kareem Hunt is going to have his ups and downs, so could see some more fluctuations from that position, unless Derrick Henry, you know, comes back to the Derrick Henry of old, which is a big bet that Dustin placed. But I was in the same boat as him. I like the pick. If the running backs go, I feel good about his wide receivers and Mike Evans and Courtland Sutton and Hollywood Brown, at least until DeAndre Hopkins comes back. So I think Dustin needs to take advantage of these next 5 weeks before Hopkins comes back and really cash in on Hollywood Brown. And
write
before
this down,
Michael
Kevin.
Thomas gets hurt.
No, write this down. I think Marquise Brown will be out of Dustin's lineup in week two. I don't think he'll even play him. I think Michael Thomas will be in there.
You think so?
I know so.
It's probably a good play.
Because I just talked to Dustin. I'm just kidding.
Dustin says he set his lineup for the next 5 weeks, and it's Michael Thomas across the board.
Dustin's probably reeling after being in Lumen Stadium watching his Broncos get waxed. All right, Kevin, we're going to go to Woods. There's Woods. I knew he was there somewhere. Woods had the pleasure of facing Garrett, who was awful. But Woods, nice week. Saquon looks to be a slam dunk.
Yeah. I mean, it was like we've said earlier in this week of episodes, it is the rookie year Saquon that we saw out there running through people, running around people, doing a lot with the ball. Najee Harris, we'll see what happens if he's going to be back. Or does that mean a lightened workload if he is back? I'm sure there's a little pause at the running back position, especially considering next guy in is either Tony Pollard, Rashad White, or Zamir White. So
yeah, I am a little worried about Woods' team in the future. I think he got two huge performances from Mahomes and Saquon. You know, those guys are going to do that to the tune of 33 and 34 points. Maybe not. But if you look, he invested in both Seattle receivers. Even though they had a nice game against Denver, I don't – you know, they both didn't do anything much. I doubt they're going to do much this year. Tony Pollard, I don't know what's going to happen with that Dallas offense. Looked awful. And you're right. Najee Harris, a lot of his – trust me, I was a Najee Harris owner. Everyone knows that, Kevin. A lot of his value was based on Big Ben dumping the ball to him 8-9 times a game. Is that going to happen this year? Didn't happen in week one.
No, it did not.
Let's go Garrett.
Garrett, suck a Ditka. And suck a Ditka he did.
He balanced some really – James Conner, nice game. Davante Adams, nice. Jonte Williams, nice one. However, back that up with Dak, going to be gone. Cam Akers, nothing burger. Mooney, 1 point. Kyle Pitts. Just didn't have the all-around week. Had some stars play well, but other than that, not good.
Yeah, fortunately for Garrett, he did go with three running backs, so he can safely move Cam Akers out of the lineup until either a reemergence or a sign to safely drop Cam Akers and go with James Conner and Javonte Williams. But it's going to be a big bet on those two running backs, and bye weeks are going to be very scary. Because this bench is very wide receiver heavy.
And he picked the wrong Arizona running back, too. Whoops.
Oops.
All right, let's head over to my matchup.
Wait. I have a question on Garrett's team. How much fab does Garrett spend on a running back this week? How much should he spend?
Should he or will he? Both. We kind of mentioned that this isn't the big week to spend. But I think he probably pops on Jeff Wilson for greater than $49.
Ooh. I bet Jeff, well, I don't trust that anybody learned anything from last season. If anybody did learn, Jeff Wilson would go for more than 49. But there's a chance he does go off the board at 49.
What did I spend on Mitchell last year? $71 or something?
Yeah, and you got torched for it, but then everybody realized that that was probably the best move until I spent 49 on Cordell Patterson the next week.
That's right. All right, let's head to my matchup. Dan beat me 120 to 111. Pretty close matchup. Dan got didn't really have anything else going on, but Justin Jefferson kind of bailed him out, 40 points.
Yeah, a lot of points from one player there, and it was enough to get it done. Gabe Davis did get his touchdown. And he did outscore Debo Samuel, I believe.
Yep, correct me I if think I'm Debo wrong. Had like 12 or 14, something like that.
So not enough to make a difference in the matchup, but that would have been an all-time story if it was the difference. Of course, we're talking about the Debo Samuel for Gabe Davis trade. And we'll leave it at that.
So I don't know where you're at with this, Kevin. We haven't talked much about it. I have a really, really hard time believing there wasn't any, like, I don't want to say collusion, but I want to say some deal or promise that was made, because Dan's not an idiot. Dan won the championship last year. He's one of two-time champions in this league, the other being me, of course. Dan's usually in the playoffs, usually a good team. I have a hard time believing he makes that trade just one for one. I really do.
I'm very much in the same boat. If Gabe Davis outscores Debo Samuel this season, I'm convinced that Dan is a time traveler and has brought back the almanac from 2025 and knows that somehow he wins that trade. Because, that one hurt, I think, everybody a little bit.
Well, and here's my thing. If you wanted another receiver for week one, he could have gotten a much better player than Gabe Davis.
Absolutely. He should have just dropped in the group chat.
Who wants Debo?
Who wants Debo?
He could have gotten flooded with offers.
Oh, absolutely. He would not have picked Gabe Davis unless he was a time traveler.
Yeah, that's the reason why I'm thinking something's up, because to my knowledge, no other trade offers were. I Luke's a smart guy too. I don't believe he would even think to offer Gabe Davis for Debo. I don't. So it had to have been Dan initiated, which is
suspicious.
Stinks. It stinks. Smells. Something smells. Let's go over to my team. Cooper Kupp was Cooper Kupp. Everyone else kind of was not. Joe Mixon had a really nice day. Didn't get into the end zone. So 21 points with no end zone trip is encouraging for Joe Mixon. Validates that round one selection.
A lot of touches.
Russell Wilson had all the yards. Didn't have the touchdowns. That was kind of the difference, I think, in this game, was that Russell Wilson, he was there to kind of bail me out on Monday night. And he didn't. Rashad Penny started out hot. I think he had 8 points early in the third quarter. Didn't score again. Thielen was a bust. I was forced to start a streaming tight end, picked the wrong one in Robert Tonyan. So
Rashad Penny or Michael Carter in your lineup week two?
Michael Carter will be in for the grinders. They might both be in there, Kevin. I'll let you know. They might both be in there.
So that was going to be my next question.
CeeDee Lamb might find himself on the bench.
Sure. You're going to bench CeeDee Lamb if healthy?
No. He had 11 targets. Tampa Bay is one of the best defenses in the NFL. So I'm not – the 11 targets is what I'm looking at, not the two catches that he ended up with.
Sure. So you're proposing then Rashad Penny over Adam Thielen?
No, Kevin. I was just playing around with you. Good
Lord. Oh, my God. I thought you were an idiot. Well, no. More than usual. More than
my team will look very similar. I'm going to put in George Kittle. He'll be back, which will be a boost. And then I'll probably make a Sunday morning decision on Rashad Penny, Michael Carter, leaning towards Michael Carter right now. I'm very, very encouraged with my running back depth. I think I hit on, so I went big wide receiver early, as everyone knows, and then I hammered my favorite running backs. I think Nyheim Hines is going to be useful in most weeks. Michael Carter looks like he was a hit. Khalil Herbert, I think, is going to be a hit. Eno Benjamin is going to be good. So I think I have a nice running back, you know, war room where I can play around with my RB2. Your head, Kevin.
Yeah,
you're shaking your head about.
If Khalil Herbert doesn't get in the end zone, you definitely don't say that he hit. He got in the end zone in that hurricane. It's going to be dependent on David Montgomery going down for Khalil Herbert to be worth a damn. Last question, CeeDee Lamb, Cooper Kupp, Adam Thielen. Looks like it's going to be locked in on those three until Godwin is back. Until Godwin is back. Or are you sourcing help? Are you going to find anybody better than Adam Thielen?
I'm a big believer in Adam Thielen. I think this was just a week where, you know, JJ, he was taking 20-yard catches for 50 yards almost every catch. And that's not going to happen every week. I think this next week you're going to see Thielen be more of a guy. They didn't really run much red zone plays, to be honest. They were kind of just deeper 20-yard scores. So I'm until Godwin comes back, this will be locked in. And then player pretty much just playing around with RB2. My lineup is pretty well set except for RB2 most weeks. I was very encouraged with Russell Wilson. And you know, other than that, I think the grinders are going to be the grinders, Kevin.
One last thing over on Dan's team. Obviously, he subs Cordarrelle Patterson in for Eli Mitchell. Do you think he goes Elijah Moore or Jahan Dotson week two?
Yeah, it's going to be a tricky situation for him in the flex. You know, he has a couple options. Breaking news, I don't know if you know this, but Ty Montgomery, who was taking a bunch of snaps from Ramondre Stevenson, just went on the IR today. Yep. So Ramondre Stevenson might be a flex eligible guy this week as well. I think he probably sticks with Elijah Moore. I think the Jahan Dotson thing was kind of, you know, two catches or three catches, two touchdowns, a bit of a fallacy. Elijah Moore had seven targets, you know, more consistent, I guess. So I think he rolls out with a very similar lineup, just with Cordarrelle in there. Cordarrelle is going to be one of the steals of the draft if he's the same guy as last year too.
100%. Let's send it over to the next matchup. We have Luke against Greg. Luke gets the win by a hefty 40 points.
Greg had the lowest score of the week. He sucked. He's very bad. Luke got away with 7.8 from Stafford, only 13 from Cook. The rest of the guys, though, were awesome. AJ Brown, Travis Kelce, Antonio Gibson. And he had AJ Dillon on the bench. Put that in the flex. He's winning the week.
Very, very good team. It helps when you can get Debo Samuel for Gabe Davis. Yeah.
And J.K. Dobbins, too. He says J.K. Dobbins sitting there on the bench as well.
I don't know what to say about Luke's team because it's absolutely stacked. He should be one of the favorites to win. Yes, he had a down week, but there's going to be plenty of time to figure it out. He has the stars to get him to the championship. I love the Travis Kelce pick. I don't understand how Travis Kelce was a first round pick last year and not a first round pick this year. Like, to me, he's been the same guy for the last 5 years. It's okay if, you know, you tell me that he's just a second round pick every single year, but I don't understand why, you know, first rounder last year, second rounder this year, it seemed like a miss by all the draft analysts to have Kelce so low. That's why I snagged him in Mega Bowl. Now, that's one of the reasons I love Luke's team, because it's tough to find a position area where he's severely lacking with the tight end being so strong.
Yeah, and as you're looking around the league, I don't think you're going to find better pass catchers than Brown, Debo, and Travis Kelce. It's going to be tough to beat.
Very
tough. And then on the other side of the spectrum, let's talk about the worst wide receiver group in the league. I think, I don't know what Greg's going to do, but he's in a bad situation with wide receivers.
Yeah, not ideal. I mean, T. Higgins leaves early. Can't bet on that. I have to take that point total with a massive grain of salt. Going to be expecting more from him in the future. He needs Lazard to come back and be the Lazard that people expected him to be. I think to kind of fill in the cracks when, I mean, Mahomes said it himself, Kansas City offense is going to get spread around. It's going to be a different guy every week. So I don't really feel really confident in playing Juju on a consistent basis. Deontay Johnson didn't find the end zone, but a lot of targets. He's the only guy that I feel is the lock and loaded play every week guy as far as receivers for Greg.
Over under two running backs. No, over under 2.5 running backs started for Greg next week.
I think it probably has to be the over.
Think he starts James Robinson in the flex?
I think so. I'm predicting Lazard doesn't play. So his options really come down to T. Higgins coming off the concussion or James Robinson. And if T. Higgins is active, I guess Juju or James Robinson. And I would probably play the wide receiver, but I can definitely see James Robinson got a lot of work, looked pretty good. It might be tough to keep him out of the lineup, especially when it's your own team.
All right, let's head to the last matchup featuring my other co-host. He scored the 7th lowest total? No, even lower than that. 8th, 9th, 9th, Kevin. 9th lowest total.
Got the win.
Got the win. That's all that matters. All that matters, folks, is the win. Kevin, what did you think about your week 1 performance?
Travis Etienne snuck up on me. He had the opportunity to catch 2 touchdowns, dropped 1. Lawrence had a massive overthrow on the other. I'm not super concerned about him, but I am going to wait probably a little bit to bring him in because I did hit on Daryl Henderson. Daryl Henderson will be in my lineup probably until he proves that he's been overtaken by somebody else. Played Cole Kmet in the monsoon. That was definitely a mistake. I saw a tweet saying, remove all the Bears pass catchers, remove all the 49ers pass catchers. And it's like, it can't be that bad. And then of course saw the game and it was like, oh, probably should have done that, huh? Allen Robinson, hope he gets more involved. For as poorly as a lot of these things went, I do feel like many of them were week 1 hiccups. And I feel good about my team going forward, but definitely very cautious, especially going to be missing my wide receiver 1 and Keenan Allen for at least 1 week. Bills defense might be the Patriots defense of 2019, though. I'm very happy that I got the top defense in the draft.
Yep, they somewhat kind of bailed you out. I mean, I think you would have won regardless because Truck sucks. But yeah, they in a tighter matchup, if they're scoring 10 to 12 points, yeah, that's huge, massive, game changer. McCaffrey's usage was down, but are you encouraged that he, you know, was in there and making plays?
Yeah, I said in an earlier episode that Carolina had the lowest time of possession as of any team in week one. So obviously fewer opportunities, not captured in that 15.7 point total is a 32 yard run after a muff snap, which somehow doesn't count as a rush, counts as a fumble recovery advancement. Fuck you. he's going to have games where he has eight or more targets. Didn't see it here. This is probably one of the worst case scenarios for Christian McCaffrey outside of getting hurt. And he put up 15.7 points. It's absolute floor.
15 points on 57 yards is that's stupid. only McCaffrey can do that, really. Let's head over to Truck because not much good happened outside of Kyler Murray, Michael Pittman. Zeke looks old still. There was a lot of talk about Zeke being back. Looked old. David Montgomery, even in the slop fest, even with 17 carries, three catches, can only muster 8 points. Alvin Kamara doesn't look at, you know, I don't think he's going to be getting 10 catches a game. Mike Williams was kind of lost in the shuffle there. Where does Strutt go from here?
The only way is up. I expect Amon-Ra St. Brown to be in the flex next week. And
who does he bench?
Zeke? Possibly Kamara if Kamara's out, but probably Zeke. I think he's going to be a little scared from Dak going down, as he should, that offense is going to be substantially worse. I did see a tweet of a fantasy team that scored 39 points with a perfectly reasonable lineup set.
Yeah, I saw that too. That was incredible.
I think Truck had probably five or six of those players in his lineup. He just happened to have Kyler Murray and Michael Pittman that kept it from being an all-time low.
Yeah, what's the deal with the tight end situation? Did he draft Njoku to be his starting tight end?
Yep.
Whoops. He went, looks like he waited till the very end to draft a tight end. I don't know who told him that, Matthew Berry or something.
Jason Moore of the Fantasy Footballers.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, he told him to go zero tight end. He did. Bit him in the butt week one. This team on paper should not be this bad again. However, some discouraging things that happened. I was a big Hunter Renfro fan. Looks like that's might not be the flex play that I thought he was going to be. Robert Woods kind of in the same boat. Thought he would be a flex play. Not encouraging there either. The bench looks kind of weak outside of Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah. The good news is Mike Williams probably will score more than 3 points next week.
Yeah, I'm guessing his running backs probably go for over the total of 15 as well. So better days ahead for Truck, but maybe, you know, not a championship for sure, but maybe a win here or there.
Yeah, and I think that's a good transition into the matchup of the week, which does feature Truck against Garrett Grabaugh. The two not very lowest point scorers, but two of the lowest three facing off. Both with a lot of question marks in their offense or on their teams. One of them is going to walk out of this 0-2 and probably not looking good going forward. Who do you like in this matchup?
So right now, Garrett has a lot of question marks. Who's going to be the quarterback? Got it. He has to go pick someone up. Doesn't have one on his roster. And then where does he still ride with Darnell Mooney, or is he scared off? I'm going to take Garrett because I feel like Kamara against the Bucks is a bad situation. He's going to have to figure out tight end. He's going to have to do something different. And then I just feel more comfortable with the players in Garrett's lineup than I do with Brad's.
Yeah. I think if Alvin Kamara is healthy, though, I do like Brad. It's going to be really tight. I think the projections are probably going to have them plus or minus three once Garrett's lineup is fully filled in. If Kamara's in there, I like Brad just because Mike Williams is probably going to have a little bit of resurgence, especially with Keenan Allen out. I think he will find a better tight end. He'll spend a decent amount of fab to get there. Garrett just, it's a big bet on those running backs and Javonte and James Carter. I don't know.
Kyle Pitts is going to have more than 2 points, though. So you can say the same thing like yeah, Mike Williams. That's fair. Kyle Pitts is going to score more. Darnell Mooney is going to score more than 1 point. So I'm going to stick with my guns. I'm going to stick with Garrett. I think these two teams could potentially both be cellar dwellers most of the season, but we'll see.
Yeah, one of them will certainly not be feeling too good about themselves starting off 0-2.
I will remind people do, this is an overreaction season. I started out 0-4 one year and almost made the playoffs. So just because you start 0-1, 0-2, 0-3, got a battle. This is a huge week. Got to make some waiver claims if you're stuck down there, if you're Brad and Garrett, Greg. I expect Greg to be spending a considerable amount of money on a wide receiver. I expect Garrett to spend some money on a quarterback, probably a considerable amount. So we'll see if anyone's learned their lesson from Fab. I will say, and this isn't me, guys. I promise, Kevin, this isn't me saying this. I went to the ESPN Final Standing Projections presented by Snickers. Logan's up to 3, even though I lost. I'm up to 3 on the Final Stands projections, so they must find something they really love about the Grinders.
Yeah, those... So I've deduced that that algorithm breaks ties with current point totals. So even if you're projected to, finish with the same record as 4 or 5 other teams, whoever has the most points now will automatically get the kicker in those final season projection estimates. It's a bunch of load of shit. I could build something better in probably 2 hours.
Build it, Kevin.
Snickers,
I dare you.
Snickers needs to get some fucking more money into that fucking algorithm.
What do you mean, Kevin? It has you up at... you went down to 5. Oops, sorry. Oops.
I mean, apparently I'm still making the playoffs, and I don't feel too good about that, so... Garrett's down at 12, though. Yikes.
Yeah, it also has Woods at 1. What's that about? Who knows? Weird.
Mm. Well, welcome
all right,
to Huber.
Folks. Yeah,
Huber. And I hope you get a couple wins, just not against me. Everybody else?
3-4 wins.
Fuck you.
3-4 wins better than Hari, so... Made the league more competitive, I suppose.
So do you think Terry McLaurin's going to get traded for, like, Davante Adams this week? Or what trades are in store next?
Yeah, I'm gonna offer Nyheim Hines for Dalvin Cook. We'll see what happens.
I mean, historical evidence is that that's going to get insta accepted. So.
Yeah, the problem is no one wants to trade with... Big Bad Mo. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week. I'll be 2-0. We'll see you there.
See ya.